Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Psalm. Psalm 29. We're continuing with our series of the names of God and learning more about God as He's revealed Himself through His names. Remember that each one of these names tells something unique and different about God's attributes, about His characteristics. And we learn more about God because God wants to be known. And we're thankful for these names. In Psalm 29, it is a powerful psalm expressing God's glory, His majesty, His power, with the idea that we are to look at Him and respond properly. Notice with me, if you don't mind, as we look together in Psalm 29. Psalm 29, and notice with me in verse number 1. Psalm 29 in verse 1. Give unto the Lord, all ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon many the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Siren are like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The voice Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf, and discover the forest, and His temple doth every one speak of His glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Psalm 29? And notice the name of God that is revealed. Psalm 29 in verse number 3. Notice this, the God of glory. The God of glory. With this, we see God's name here, El Hakavod. El Hakavod, for those spelling, it's E-L space H-A-K-K-A-V-O-D. El Hakavod is more the pronouncing, the God of glory. We're going to see here the God who is over everything. Notice as we go to here, the God of glory. And I want you to pay attention to the power, to the majesty, the might, with the idea that if God is worthy of glory, then He's also worthy of our proper response. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You again for You being a wonderful God. And as we come to You, we're asking that You would show Yourself, that You would reveal Yourself, that You would illuminate our hearts, that we could see You high, holy, lifted up, and that we could respond to You. Lord, help us to understand this powerful psalm here, that we could see that You are the God of glory, the King of glory, and that all the glory is due to Your name. Help us even now, and we love You in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the word glory in the Bible is a very important one. It's one that speaks of weight. It speaks of majesty. It speaks of greatness. Now, to glorify someone is, first of all, to recognize their worth, and number two, respond accordingly. You do not give glory to someone if you do not respond to them correctly. So it's to recognize who they are and respond properly. That's one of the reasons why God is not worshipped the way He ought to be. Because people could look at God's attributes and who He is and still not respond to Him. And that's a dangerous thing, because there is glory due to His name. Because of who He is worthy of all this glory of honor. Now, Psalm 29 presents this name, the God of glory. Now, remember on Sunday night, we talked about who is this King of glory and talked about how great and mighty and many of his attributes. Now, as we come to Psalm 29, we see that he is full of glory. And this whole name, it puts in the setting of worship. This whole psalm, all 11 verses, is talking about giving glory due to his name, worshiping him correctly because of his power, because of his might. Throughout this psalm, we're going to see the attention to the voice of God, which we'll speak about towards the end, the power of the storm, the shaking of the wilderness, the majesty of God. All through it all, we're seeing God with the idea that we are to respond and give glory to his name. The God of glory is due glory. So let's just start off with a question. Why give God the glory? Why give glory to God? If this is the big emphasis, why should God get the glory? Why should we respond properly to him? Well, it all begins with who he is. Who is God? What is his power? Notice, if you don't mind, as we walk through here. Verse number 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Now, notice this idea of giving. This carries the idea here in the context of giving unto him what is due to him. What does he do? He's due glory. He's due honor. He's due for us to recognize who he is and responding to him. That God is God and we respond properly. Once again, this is one of our biggest problems in worship, is that we may recognize about God, but we don't turn around and respond to him properly. Without responding to him properly, we are not worshiping him. We're just academically exercising, but then we discount everything we said about him. If he is God, we will respond to him. If he is not God, we don't respond to him. It carries the idea that actions speak louder than words. Are you acting like God is God or not? Notice it goes on, verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Once again, we are seeing who God is. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse 1 again, the capital L-O-R-D. Then verse 2, give unto the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. 18 times in 11 verses, the word Lord in capital letters is used. Once again, as a reminder, this is the name of God, Jehovah. This is the covenant name of God, the personal name of God, the I am, the God who is self-existent and self-sufficiency. He needs no help, no counsel, no support. He is complete in himself. He does not depend on us. We depend upon him. Every act of worship, every word of praise begins with this truth. God is God, and we are not. And so it begins with God. And all throughout the psalm, it is screaming and shouting. This psalm is not subtle. This is God. Now, because he's God, you give glory to his name. It is a very clear, simple truth. God is God. And we should treat him, respond, and behave as if he is God. Notice as it goes on, it speaks about God's power. Verse number 3, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Now in here, it's going to give an illustration of the Lord thundering across the waters. I want you to imagine that you're on a boat on the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Now, off in the distance towards the north is Mount Hermon, the biggest mountain in the entire area. It's usually snow-capped. And they would have dangerous storms that would come from Mount Hermon and pick up strength as it would come down. And imagine this powerful storm as it sweeps down Mount Hermon and you're stuck in the waters and all of a sudden the storm hits. And when the storm hits, you are fully cognizant of the power of the storm. You realize that if you're on the boat upon the waters, how helpless you really are, because there's very little you could do against the power of this storm. They say that this this storm becomes so powerful that comes from Mount Hermon and washes across that it is not a whisper. It is power. Everyone recognizes it. It is like a bone shaking, thunderous power, a storm that comes that shakes every bit of you. And yet, I want to remind you that God is bigger than that storm. God is bigger than anything. That the waves obey his voice. The heavens obey him and tremble at him. This is a God who is in control of all power. And this storm that comes down to a lot of people, this is the most powerful thing, force of nature that they would ever come across. And they go, wow, what power God has when God is bigger than the storm. He shakes the many waters. He's across it, and there's a helplessness. That the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Again, this is a type of storm. This is not a small little rainstorm that happens. This is a powerful, all-striking storm where you look at the storm and you go, wow, what power. You realize how insignificant you really are compared to the power of this storm. A storm that would blow past you and wouldn't even see was a road bump, a little bump on the road, that you would have no power against this storm. It wouldn't even recognize you. It's that powerful. Notice as it goes on, verse 5, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Now, up in Lebanon, in the northern part of this area, would be these great cedar trees. David used these cedar trees to help prepare to build for the temple. They were massive, sturdy cedar trees. If you could imagine the redwood forest in California, how huge those trees would be. And yet when the storm would come, it'd be so powerful that it would shake those trees. How massive and powerful these storms would be. Again, it's one thing to see a little storm and go, that's nice. It's a different thing when you see the biggest tree around shaking because of the power of this storm. And I'm not just talking about the wind. I'm talking about when the lightning cracks and the thunder sounds out, that the thunder itself shakes the tree. Some of you have been in powerful storms where the thunder shakes your house and rattles everything off and it affects everything. Many of us have never been in a storm like this. And imagine what awe you would be in to see the thunder shaking everything, even the biggest trees, and shaking the entire thing to its core. Notice in verse number 6, he maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Siren like a young unicorn. If you could imagine, what is this them? This them is those trees. These trees would shake because of the thunder so much, it'd be like watching a baby calf, a baby cow jumping around. Can you imagine such a powerful storm to make these huge trees seem like they're jumping around? The power behind this storm, again, is we're looking at this and saying, wow, what a storm, and looking beyond the storm and say, wow, what a God who's above this storm. God has great power and majesty and might. Notice as it goes on. Verse 7, the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. His voice is like a flame of fire. If you could imagine in the scene that the lightning striking and forking and dividing, and the power that you would see as it splits the sky. And that would only be a flicker of God's power to see these lightning bolts up in the sky. And again, imagine you're in this storm and you're watching the storm go about you and you're seeing the full majesty and power and might of this storm. And yet that is nothing compared to the power of God. A lot of us like to think, we may not admit it, but we think in our minds that we're pretty powerful, that we could stand against God. We could look at God and say, listen, you don't tell me what to do. I'm the master of my own destiny. And then you go out to a storm like this that shakes you and rattles you. And so memorable, you do not forget a storm like this. And you realize that storm is small compared to God. And next to you, you were small next to that storm. It is putting things in perspective and power and might, and realizing we don't have much power and we don't have much might. And yet, we don't give glory to God's name. We do not respond to him properly. Notice as it goes on, verse number 9, it says, verse number 8, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf. Here, this is a thing, an illustration. If you can imagine a cow getting ready to give birth, and the lightning scares her so much that she goes immediately into labor. It just rattles and affects everything around us. This is not a passive storm. This is a storm that affects everything. What a powerful God that we have. It says, verse 9, the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovers the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Again, everyone who is present says, wow, what a storm. What a God. And they do not forget about this. Then verse 10, yea, the Lord sitteth upon the flood. And then it goes back to another storm. Maybe one of the biggest storms in all of history, when it caused the actual flood upon the earth. And you know who that flood responded to? The voice of God. That even the flood that destroyed the entire world in Noah's day was still responding to God. That God is full of majesty. That God is full of might. That God is powerful. And that God is wanting us to give glory to his name. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. Who is this king of glory? God is the king of glory. And it is our responsibility to give glory due to his name. What does that mean? To recognize how powerful God is, and that we respond to him correctly. That's the idea. But people don't give glory to his name. They do not respond to the voice of God. You're like, well, preacher, does that mean that I have to go find a storm and go out there and shout to the wind and say, God, what do you want from me? Or challenge God to finally have a God off to say, God, if you're God, knock me down. Use your wind. I dare you. We've seen foolish people do this. Is this what we have to do to hear the voice of God? Not at all. You understand how we today can hear God's voice, which is still powerful? The Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even to the sunder of soul and spirit. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's voice is still powerful. How do we give glory to his name? Recognizing who God is and responding correctly to worship him by our response. And yet, we don't respond to him when his voice is just as clear. You're like, well, when you preach, all I hear is you. Well, then you're not listening for God. Because anyone who's listening to God's voice and the Bible is open, you hear God's voice. And it is powerful. Many of us have sat under preaching and heard God's word thundered, and we're not hearing from the preacher. We hear God's voice and it shakes us to the core. We've heard the voice of God. But then we don't respond. To worship God is to give glory due to his name, to recognizing him and responding properly by having him in his rightful place. One of our problems is that we still think that we can be God and we challenge him. God, you don't tell me what to do. God, I choose what I want to do. And we don't respond properly to his name. We almost think that we have a choice in the matter. When God says, do this, we don't realize what power we're messing with. Now, understand that God is a loving God. Notice the last verse. The Lord will give strength unto his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. You see what God says here? Is that God is willing to give that power to us when we need it. God is willing to answer prayers. He's willing to give peace. This is a God who's willing to fight our battles. We've already learned many of the names of God, whether it's the Lord of hosts, the God of all of the armies of heaven. He can give us peace. Later on, next year, we'll learn about the God of peace, and that we could have the peace of God that comes from the God of peace. I'm thankful we could have peace. I'm thankful for who God is, that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This God, who is a force that no nature can control him, he is in control of all of nature, still cares enough for me that he's willing to care for me, with the idea that I'd respond properly to who he is, that I recognize him as God. Now you say, preacher, I think you're trying to say something. I am. We don't respond to God properly. We learn intellectually about God, and we don't learn that quite a bit. A church like this, we're talking a lot about God. It all begins with God. It all ends with God. And yet, we still hold back. We still don't do what we're told. We still don't keep our commitments we told God. God, I promise I'll read my Bible every day. And by the next week, we forget about it. God, I said I'm going to do this for you. And you just let some time pass and we don't do it. Sometimes we could go down to an altar. And then by the time we walk out the door, we've already forgotten about everything. We are not giving glory to his name. We're not responding to him. It's almost at times that God is a fairy tale in our minds, the way that we treat him. We hear a great story. Wow, that's great. And we walk out and immediately forget everything. It doesn't take much for that peace that God promised us to go away, because we're no longer trusting him and we get aggravated at someone. We go back to our problems and we go back to our things, and God doesn't enter into our equation, and we fret and we panic and react as if God is not in control, and we disobey and jump into sin as if God is not powerful. We do not give glory due to his name. This is the whole setup for the book of Psalm, by the way. What is the purpose of the book of Psalm? To give glory due to his name. You know, God's not asking us to give something that doesn't belong to him. He's asking us to respond properly to who he is. Do you see him as God? Do you respond to him as God? Is he powerful in your life? Or is he not? Notice, if you don't mind, as we make a quick application and just respond properly to this, notice if you don't mind, how can a sinful people, blessed of a holy, sinless God, praise his name, how can we give glory due to his name? It's a practical question. The answer is found because of the grace of God. Notice with me verse 1 again. Give unto the Lord, all ye mighty. The word mighty here is not speaking of angels, and it's not speaking of kings. It refers to those that God has made strong. Those that God has helped, those that God has strengthened. It is us that is supposed to give glory due to his name. It is us that are supposed to be responded. Those of us who have seen God answer prayers and see how powerful he is, we are the ones to lead the way in responding to him and giving glory due to his name. It's a call to those that belong to him they are mighty, not because of our own strength, but because of what God has done for him. This is not an invitation for the world to worship. It is a summons to the redeemed. We know the Bible speaks about in the gospel record of John chapter 1, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor by the will of the flesh, nor by the will of man, but of God. Those of us who have come to the place where we realize that we were sinners, and because of our sin that we've offended a holy, righteous God, and that we deserve to go to hell, but realize that Jesus died for me and came to a place where I personally accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. God did something to me that day and he redeemed me. He made me a new creature. I am now a child of the King, not because of my will, not because of I desired it, not because of something I did, but because Jesus did the work and he made me a new creature. And now that I'm a new creature, because of the Holy Spirit living within me, I now finally have the ability to respond correctly to God and worship him with the glory due to him. That Jesus says very clearly in John chapter 4, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. The call in Psalm 29 is not the call for the lost to worship God. It is not the call for those who are away from God. It is for those who are redeemed, who've seen his power. We are to give glory due to his name. How does a world know that God is alive? By the testimony of his saints. That if we act like God is real, then they'll start to believe that God is real. Why is it that our world doesn't respond to God? Because they cannot find a Christian who gives glory due to his name. That we are not living like we're saved. We're living like heathen. We're not giving glory due to his name. We're not trusting. We're not depending upon his power. We're trying to do it in our own strength. And we only rely on God when there's no other choice. We try to put God in a box and we're only allowed to think about him during church service times and nowhere else. We don't listen to the voice of God. Let me tell you, if you could read through your Bible regularly and you don't hear the voice of God, something's bad wrong. Because you should be hearing God's voice in every page. This is why when you're asked, how did God speak to you? We are expecting an answer. Because God should be speaking to you. You're like, what am I looking for? You're listening for God to say, this is you. Fix this. This is something you need to adjust. This is something that needs to be addressed. If you could read your Bible and your Bible doesn't change you, something's bad wrong. You should read it and hear God's voice in every page. You're like, but Pastor, you don't understand. I'm in Leviticus. Oh, what a wonderful chapter to learn about the holiness of God and how powerful God is and where he has put it all. The Bible talks about in the book of Leviticus. I'm going off notes now. I don't care. He says that in order to be a priesthood, you have to be this, this, and this, and it doesn't allow this, this, and this. You're like, well, that's just a bunch of rules. No, no, no. It shows that we can't worship God however we want. We have to go up to him clean and righteous. And if we're disqualified, we have to trust in him to qualify us. What is the qualification? To be holy and to be right. I am not holy and not right. God makes me holy. God makes me right. Well, you're like, Pastor, you don't understand. How do I hear the voice of God in First Chronicles 1-9? It's just a list of names. What are you talking about? I have so many messages from First Chronicles 1-9. But at the very least, God cares for the individuals and he keeps track of you. Isn't that great comfort? That in the midst of names, those names were important to God enough to write them down. Wonderful. There's so many things that we can learn if we're listening. What's the problem? We're not listening. How do I listen? Well, it starts off by saying, Lord, speak to me. Psalm 119. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. That's a prayer request. You are to pray that. It says, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of the law. The word behold in there carries, and behold wonderful things. The word wonderful carries the idea of things that make me go, wow. You should have many times in your Bible reading and many times during the preaching, if you're listening to God's voice, you say, wow, what a God. Wow, what a Savior. And it should cause you to respond, Lord, because of how I see you in the Bible, this is what I'm doing. This is why your prayer time should be a natural conclusion to your Bible reading time. That you're reading your Bible and you're going, wow, what a God. So I start off by saying, Lord, open my eyes and I may behold wonderful things. Lord, show me something to make me go wow today. Then you read your Bible. And by the way, nothing's going to make you go wow more than God. Amen. Wow, God, that's wonderful. Oh, look at what you said. What a wonderful promise. And then you start thinking about that promise. And then you start saying, Lord, that promise is for me. I need that today. And it naturally goes to your Bible prayer time. And now you're not giving a laundry list. You're talking with a wonderful God. Amen. And guess what? You'll remember what you read because you talked to God about it. Yes. Nothing like asking people, what's your Bible reading? What did you read today? Well, something went wrong somewhere. You're like, you're being mean, preacher. I'm trying to be a help today. Amen. Because God wants to speak to you. The problem is we're not listening. We're not listening. This is why it's disturbing to me to watch people in the pews kind of. It disturbs me. Why? They're not listening and they're missing out because God wants to show them something. It disturbs me when people say, I didn't get to my Bible reading. You don't know what you're missing. I read my Bible and it's just dry. You don't know what you're missing. Something's wrong because God wants to speak to us. And it's powerful. There should be times that you read your Bible and like that storm, it shakes you to your core. And you go, Lord, I need to get right with you and I need to get right with you right now. There are times that you read your Bible and God's powerful gives you a peace and says, God, I could face whatever it is today because I know you're on the throne. And Lord, thank you for that peace and I'm going on. There are times that God gives you direction where he clearly says, this is what you need to do today. Okay, thank you, Lord. And then when you come to it and say, oh, look, God already gave me the answer. I already know which way to go. We have a God who's real, who wants to speak to you. It is a living book and we need to read it. Are you hearing the voice of God? He said, why is it important? Because we need to respond and give glory due to his name. Responding to God properly because of who he is. So just let me ask you, what's the last thing in your Bible reading that made you go, wow? I'm assuming today you had wow, but before today, when's the last time you heard preaching that made you go, wow? You can't blame it on the preacher, because if the Bible is open, it doesn't matter who's preaching. It'd be the most boring. There's no such thing as a boring message, only boring preachers. As long as the Bible's open, God is expecting to speak to you. And so it's not dependent on the preacher. It's, are you anticipating, Lord, make me go, wow, today? How different would church services be if you showed up prepared and say, Lord, make me go, wow. Yes, sir. Almost start looking forward to coming to church. Make me go, wow. How different would our Bible reading be if we started off, Lord, make me go, wow. I want to be amazed by you. Not an idea of challenging God. Lord, make me be amazed with you or impressed with you. Or, you know, what else does he have to do to impress us? But the idea that I'm seeking him, anticipating, Lord, make me go, wow. You promised. Open my eyes and I may behold wonderful things from my law. And it doesn't matter where you're reading at. Well, I'm reading the Ten Commandments today. Wonderful. You know how much we learn about God through the Ten Commandments? Wow. It doesn't matter where you're at. Wow. Well, I'm in the Song of Solomon. It's got all these things there. It's talking about the guy looking at the woman and said, your belly's like a belly full of wheat. How does that? You learn all kinds of things about God. Oh, his banner over me is love. We find that in Song of Solomon chapter 2. Oh, there's so much in the Bible to discover and to learn about who God is, only if we're listening to his voice. And when we listen to his voice, our proper response is to give glory due to his name. Because of how we see God, we respond properly and go, wow, what a God. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to obey. But the idea of giving glory to his name is recognizing who he is and then responding properly to how we see him. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And again, thank you for salvation that you provided for us. And thank you for your voice that you try to speak to us. Help us to be attentive and help us to be able to go, wow, what a God. Help us to still be amazed by you and hear you when you speak. Lord, thank you that it doesn't require a storm to speak to us. That you have your word and that is enough. Lord, again, help us to be amazed by you. Lord, I'm asking that you would help people to respond to you. Maybe our Bible reading's not where it should be. Maybe there's something else wrong with our worship. Maybe our obedience hasn't been right. Lord, help us to be able to go and give glory to your name. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.